Stay tuned for the Dog Talk Show coming up next with your host, Julie Forbes.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. Our top story this hour, he had been a suspect in the 2005 disappearance of Alabama teen Natalie Holloway. Now, Joran van der Sloot is suspected in the killing of a woman in Peru, according to CNN's Rafael Romo.
Statements by the Peruvian police who say they're actively investigating this and are treating him as a suspect. Now, what we know is that he might have already fled Peru by land and might have gone to Chile. So right now, at this point, his whereabouts are unknown.
The body of Stephanie Flores Ramirez was found in a Lima hotel room. Police have video showing her with van der Sloot Saturday night. President Obama is vowing to press hard for passage of a clean energy bill. During a speech in Pittsburgh on Wednesday, he acknowledged it might not be easy.
The votes may not be there right now, but I intend to find them in the coming months. I will continue to make the case for a clean energy future wherever and whenever I can.
The president called the crisis involving the massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico a warning that America needs to move away from its dependence on fossil fuels. A couple of signs of hope on the economic front today. American businesses announced just under 39,000 job cuts for last month, far less than at this time last year. And on the auto front, U.S. car sales jumped in May.
I think it's showing us that there is a recovery in what's going on in 2010 versus last year.
That is Jeff Schuster of J.D. Power and Associates. General Motors and Ford both reported large gains for May, while Toyota saw a much more modest sales increase. There's a new report out highlighting the threats facing rivers across the country. The number one river on the 2010 most endangered list is the Upper Delaware. The report says gas drilling poses a risk to the drinking water of people nearby. Big day for the Dow. It gained 226 points on Wall Street. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Find an oasis of film-going fortitude at this year's 36th Annual Seattle International Film Festival, May 20th through June 13th. See films from around the world like Prince of Tears, Anna's Playground, and Robo-Geisha. This year's SIFF event features over 400 films for discerning filmgoers. Dust off your brain and head to SIFF.net for the entire selection of this year's films. That's SIFF.net. Step one on your journey around the world's consciousness.
This is Valerie with a look at your Cairo 7 weather forecast on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m., Well, we are expecting 90% chance of rain all day today. We will reach a high of 61. Tonight, we will have a low of 47. Tomorrow, some sun break with afternoon showers coming back. We will reach a high of 64 and a low of 51. Expect rain Friday and Saturdays with highs in the mid-50s and lows in the upper 40s.
Views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Well, it's all.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, as always. We're back today on a lovely spring day, the blue sky and raining at the same time. And there's no guest, dog guest today, but we do have a special guest of sorts. We have Valerie Dunn filling in for Eric today. Hi, Valerie.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It's great to have you here again on the show.
I know I've done your show before, but
yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
I would say almost a year.
Probably.
Yeah.
Now, Valerie, be honest. Do you have a dog?
No, I do not own a dog. I do not have a dog.
Well, as long as we get that out in the open to start off, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. No.
Eric doesn't either. So,
right. Yeah. I moved here 2 years ago, and I left my dog with my parents. I wasn't allowed to bring, my living situation. So Cookie, my Pekingese,
oh, nice.
Is still in Texas with my parents, and, you know, she loves them. And I couldn't figure out the living situation. So she's there, and I haven't gotten another dog since I moved up here.
How old is Cookie?
3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she was small when I got her, and then she you know, I always at my parents' house, and so she, you know, it was like a second home to her. And then when I decided to move up here, since she was so small and the living situation, so I just left her there. But I see her all the time. I'll actually see her in 3 weeks when I go back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Bring her a dog talk show sticker.
Okay. Okay.
Well, we've got, gosh, you know, I was kind of thinking about a topic for the show today, and then I was thinking about some things just in general that I wanted to talk about anyway, and that brought up a general topic of safety. And, you know, there's just so many things out there that may or may not be obvious to people who have dogs, and a lot of this applies to pets in general, too. Just, you know, little safety tips, some things that can be dangerous that we may not think about in understanding dogs. And every dog is different, too. So one thing that might be okay for one dog might actually be very dangerous to another dog, even fatal. So I'm going to talk about those things and also have some announcements before we get going with that stuff. Now, there's two events happening this summer that I am super, super excited about. There's a ton of really cool stuff going on this summer around this area. That's one of the great things about the Northwest, is that there's just so much to do if you are into dogs. But wanted to talk about a couple of things that I am particularly excited about and will be in attendance at. The first one is Northwest Wiener Fest, which is happening this summer, July 31st and August 1st, in Elma, Washington, which I believe is just outside of Olympia. So fans of the National Dachshund races, mark your calendars for the inaugural Northwest Wiener Fest and the National Dachshund Races Washington Circuit. Now, this is the first year that, we will be welcoming the National Dachshund Races to Western Washington. So this is a really important year. It's the first year that the National Dachshund Races will be here. So let's show our support to ensure their return. July 31st and August 1st, it's just, I mean, how can anybody really resist dachshund races? Especially, you know, they are, the mission of Northwest Wiener Fest is to educate and promote safe racing practices for our dachshund companions. So, it is about really raising awareness and also, too, to support animal rescues, not only here in Washington State, but on the national level. So it's a great event. It's a great cause. It benefits, local and national rescue groups. It raises awareness about responsible and safe dachshund racing. And it's going to be a blast. So we're excited. We're making the trip from Seattle down to the Olympia area for that weekend. And my dachshund will certainly be in attendance. I'm not sure if I'm going to race her yet or not, but
why not?
Well, she's very, very fast, as I've said on air, but I'm going to be pretty busy at that event as a sponsor, and so I'm not sure if...
Is it just one big race, or is it races?
Oh, they have, heats where...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are typically very, very well attended, and... So they'll have heats of, you know, several dachshunds that go at a time. And, you know, some of them will, like, run in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll collect the winners of all the heats and then race them against each other. And then up to a final race. So
very cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I think Leia would be into it. But I'm not sure if I'm going to race her or not. I'm pretty competitive, so... I'd have to make sure that I kept that in check and, you know, just kept it about all things fun. So we also are going to do some dog talk show trivia today, which I know is one of Eric's favorite things.
Right. Yeah, we did that last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we will be giving away once again a full book of Stamps to the Rescue postage stamps. Full book. I'll take them. That's pretty sweet, huh?
Yeah.
Not a huge prize, but
No, that's great.
Yeah, and there's pictures of actual shelter cats and dogs on the stamps, and they are in existence to raise awareness for adopting a shelter pet. They're really cute, and we have another full book of those to give away later in the show to answer for the caller, first caller to answer the dog talk show trivia question correctly. So last week we asked, what is the only breed of dog that can basically testify in court, in a court of law, as far as tracking scent goes? And it's actually a bloodhound, which most people might guess. But it's interesting that that's the case.
And it's the only breed, yeah.
Leia has an excellent nose on her, too. I mean, you would think any scent hound or... I don't know. I wonder where that kind of came from and if they will ever open that up to other dogs that are fantastic search and rescue dogs that don't happen to be bloodhounds, rather breedist.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's only one breed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wonder how long that's been a law. You know, if it's if it's old, if, you know, maybe there wasn't that many breeds of dogs around or... what the case or the history is on that one. Because that's interesting that that's the only one.
Discrimination in the scent tracking world.
Right, yeah.
Well, yeah, I wonder how long that's been in effect. And I wonder if bloodhounds actually really are that many levels above.
Yeah.
I mean, scent hounds are going to probably generally be, you know, be better at tracking scent than a sight hound that really uses more eyesight to track game, like a greyhound or something.
Right,
like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, there's search and rescue dogs or like drug sniffing dogs, bomb sniffing dogs mm-hmm. that are all sorts of different types of breeds. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe breed equal rights will step in and open that up to other dogs. So another event this summer, I talked about Northwest Wiener Fest, which I'm super excited about. I will be there. We're planning on taking the weekend to go down to the Olympia area for that. Another one is the weekend before that. Let's see, is another first annual. So these are two new events this year for the dog people, in addition to the regular ones like the Furry 5K, which is coming up June 20th, the Paws Walk, which is usually later in the summer. Gilda's Club in Seattle. Are you familiar with Gilda's Club, Valerie?
No, I'm not.
Gilda, do you know who Gilda Radner is?
No.
No.
Am I getting in trouble if I say no?
No, okay. No. You're only in trouble for not having a dog, but anything else, yeah, no. Gilda Radner is a comedian who passed away due to ovarian cancer.
Okay.
And she was on, like, the old Saturday Night Lives, like back in the, I don't know, 70s.
Okay. Maybe I need a picture.
Gene Wilder, who was in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
It was his wife in real life.
Okay.
She had like really frizzy black hair and really tiny woman, was really funny. And she died of ovarian cancer. And there is something called Gilda's Club, which is they have clubs all over the nation in different cities. And there is a Gilda's Club Seattle that supports anybody whose lives have been touched by cancer. So whether they have a family member that is in treatment or who they have lost, or whether it is a person who is battling cancer, it's a organization that offers all sorts of free support to those types of people. And Gilda Radner had a dog, I think, named Sparkles or Sparkle.
Okay.
And so Gilda's Club is, as a fundraiser for Gilda's Club, is holding their first annual DOG, D-O-G, which stands for Dogs of Gilda's, walk. And it's Sunday, July 25th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and this is going to be at Magnuson Park in Seattle.
That's very cool.
Yes, and there's right now, for those people who may be interested in sponsoring the event, this is also true for Northwest Wiener Fest. Right now, they're looking for volunteers, sponsors, vendors, very, very affordable booths to actually have a presence for your business at the event. Also donations, and there are varying levels of sponsorship for both events. GildasClubSeattle.org is the website for Gilda's Club. So you can look at that at their website for more information. And I will also post that, both the Wienerfest and the Gilda's Club information, on the Dog Talk Show website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. We are now, as always, available on iTunes, which wasn't the case last time you were here, Valerie. So all the shows are now available for free download on iTunes. So if you've missed any shows or if you can't listen live, it's a great way to download onto your computer, and then you can put it on your iPod and go listen to it, you know, as you're bored on the treadmill or something like that. So, so we're going to take a break, and I'm also available today to answer any questions that you may have about dog training, behavior, food, anything, really. And if I don't know the answer, I know someone who does. But I will likely know the answer, and I would love to hear from you. And I know you're out there, because when we give things away, the lines light up. Yes. But really, this is an opportunity. If you have a little question about your dog or about dogs in general, we'd really love to hear from you. So please give us a call. And if you call in and ask a question, it doesn't mean that you can't call in later and play trivia to win a free book of dog rescue, dog and cat rescue stamps. So I'm going to give out the number now, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. We would love to hear from you, yes, you, listening right now. If you have any sort of question about your dog, give us a call, 425-373-5527. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Well, that was just a
lot. Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034. Or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, it's Vet Sunday, and he was so popular last month, he's back. Dr. Doug Yearout will join us in the studio. He's a great holistic vet, practices traditional homeopathy, among other modalities, and he treats all animals and birds. So plan to give us a call with your animal medical care questions on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
1150 KKNW. KNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. You ain't nothing
but a hound dog. Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we have Margie in Seattle on line one, who has a question. Hi, Margie.
Hi. I have a question about my dachshund.
Yep.
Who is 13 years old. And he developed, well, about 5 years ago, I think it was, he developed a couple of warts on the back of his back.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, the vet wasn't that concerned. So I don't even think he answered my question on that. But they are still there, and one of them is a little bit bigger, but they just look kind of weird, and I was wondering if I should get them taken off,
mm.
or if there's any concern there for.
And you said that you had a vet look at them?
No, I hadn't. He never looked at them. I had them in there for anal squeezing. Mm-hmm. And then his assistant was kind of fingering them, and he said to the vet, what's this? And he said, warts, but nothing else was that.
Yeah.
So I was just concerned, should they be taken off?
Yeah, well,
or are they any? Is it cancer or what's going on?
You know, I have a dachshund as well, and she's 7, and I just noticed a lump in her shoulder that you know, wasn't like one of those like fatty lumps that are right under the skin. It was a little bit deeper, and I was like, oh no, this doesn't feel good at all. It was kind of like the size of a pea. And so I brought her into the vet, and he did a fine needle aspirate. So he basically stick a needle in it and pulls, like, sucks some cells out, and then sends it off to a lab. But you know, you bring up a really good point where if you feel like, you know, you're uncomfortable with the fact that they're there, and you're concerned that it might be something that needs attention.
Well, people pet them all the time and touch them,
right?
And they say, "Oh, what's that? Oh, what's that?" And I'm embarrassed. And I say, well, you've got to take him to the doctor. And I said, well, yes, I should. And I've been procrastinating.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, old dogs especially get lumps and bumps. And, you know, I don't.
He wasn't that old 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
But they weren't concerned.
Yeah. You know, if you're not,
but
you
now
know,
they
satisfied.
Look like they've gotten a little bit bigger. And it's a little bit bigger and maybe a little bit redder.
Yeah. Now, what I would do if your vet, if you don't feel satisfied with the amount of attention that you got from your vet about them, either go back and, you know, be more clear.
He retired now.
Oh, okay. So, new vet.
Yeah, right. Can you suggest one?
Yeah. Do you live in Seattle?
Yeah. I live north near Bitter Lake.
Okay. Well, Aurora Veterinary Hospital, Dr. Bernstein, is wonderful.
Let me write that down.
He happens to, I know, have a soft spot for dachshunds as well.
Dr. Bernstein in North?
It's just off of Aurora, and he's in Aurora Veterinary Hospital, and it's at about 90th and Aurora.
90th.
Yeah, Dr. Andrew Bernstein. And, you know, you just, if you sometimes, you know, there's so much for a vet to look at, or the, you know, if you're not satisfied with the amount of attention on a certain part of your animal that you're concerned about, then really vocalize that and say, I want you to look at this. I want you to take a sample and send it to a lab. I'm concerned that it might be cancer or that it might be something that needs to be addressed. So certainly speak up and vocalize about that. And if you're not satisfied with the amount of attention you're getting from any professional, then find someone who is attentive to you. And Dr. Bernstein is wonderful.
Well, this one was in West Seattle, and he's retired. I have moved north, so someone suggested one on Lake City Way.
Well, I've had, there's lots of great vets out there. I have had wonderful success with my own dogs with Aurora Veterinary Hospital, so I recommend.
And he's reasonable?
I think so, yeah. I trust him.
You trust him, and he's reasonable.
Yep.
He's not going to charge me an arm and leg.
Well, I hope not.
What is your name again?
Julie Forbes.
Julie Forbes.
Yeah.
I'll tell him you recommended.
Okay, and you were listening to the Dog Talk Show when I recommended.
And by the way, I'd like to know more what's going on with the doc as far as races and stuff and fun stuff. I'd like to go to those if I can.
Okay, yeah, go to the Dog Talk Show website, which is dogtalkshow.com.
Mm-hmm. I listen to Martha Norwalk all the time.
Yeah, she's been on this station as well for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to dogtalkshow.com, on the homepage, you'll see information about the wiener dog races, and then you can, you know, go to the website from there.
Dogtalkshow.com. Not walk show talk show.
Yeah. Dogtalkshow.com.
Yeah. Would this Dr. Bernstein know about? Well, my dog also has a little bit of idiosyncrasies. Like he licks a lot, no matter, you know, floor, sheet, blanket. And then if I give him, I say no, and I give him a little more attention, he stops it, but then he'll go back to it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might want to ask him about that as well. It could just be a compulsive behavior.
Yeah.
But it might be, you know, a upset stomach or something like that. Or
I think it's compulsive.
Gingivitis. You know, that can even cause the kind of, like, discomfort in the mouth. So You could ask him about that, too.
Gingivitis.
Yeah. It's just have him check the teeth and all that stuff.
Yeah. I shall. I appreciate your talking to you.
Yes. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Great show. Bye.
You know, and this was actually one of the things on my list is, and I talked about this a little bit last week, I think, when I was talking about Leia and her lump that I found, which was not easy to find. I mean, I really, when I wanted to go back and check it out, I had to really look for it. But, you know, as we're talking about dog safety, one of the biggest things is that we are attentive to our dogs and that we are familiar with their bodies and what their bodies feel like. And that if, you know, a new lump does show itself, that you're going to notice it. So really, you know, checking your dog over, being very familiar with your dog's body, how everything feels. And then if something is different, you'll notice. And then you can, you know, have your vet look at it. And Margie brings up a good point where she just didn't feel like she got the attention that she needed for this particular issue. Well, you know, speak up about it, either with that professional that you're working with or find someone who you feel does give you better attention, especially when it's around health issues. You know, listening to your gut is very important about that kind of thing. And if you feel like there's something off, get it checked out because you don't want to wait until it's too late and then wish that you had. So any other questions you may have about your dog, anything at all, feel free to give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So we're talking about today about safety in general, and there are lots of things that I've got here jotted down. Xylitol. So there's all of these new, like, sugar alcohols, not sugar, but not, like, artificial sweeteners, quote-unquote. And xylitol is one of them that is actually very harmful to dogs. So you want to be careful if you're drinking a soda that's sweetened with xylitol or toothpaste that's sweetened with it or chewing gum or candy or, you know, even a glass that has a little bit of a beverage that's sweetened with xylitol, you know, make sure that your dog doesn't have access to that or your coffee that's sweetened with it or whatever, because if they do ingest some of that, it can be toxic. So heads up about that xylitol. There's lots of things that dogs can ingest that are dangerous. Some of these things most people know about. That are, you know, chocolate. I think most people know don't feed your dog chocolate. Large quantities of chocolate can be very toxic. And I think, you know, some dogs are certainly more sensitive than others around this. Onions, macadamia nuts, actually, not good for dogs. So be careful about that. Cocoa bark, I think decorative bark that you can use in your lawn and garden. Actually, I think it's the same thing that's found in chocolate, but that's actually can be toxic. Like if your dog eats bark, the cocoa bark has something in it that is toxic to dogs. So be careful about that. There is a list of plants that I need to find that are dangerous for dogs. 10 plants that can be poisonous. And I got this on from dogchannel.com. 10 plants that can poison pups. Keep this greenery out of your house and yard. And some of these ones on the list, azaleas, autumn crocus, daffodils. For daffodils, toxic ingredients in the bulbs cause convulsions, tremors, lethargy, weakness, and upset stomach. Hyacinth. Let's see. Tomatoes. Surprisingly, the greenery of this common plant, not the tomato itself, contains solanine, a toxic ingredient that can prompt gastric upset, depression, weakness, and a decrease in heart rate. Lily of the Valley can cause heart failure, coordination problems, and vomiting. Oleander, extremely toxic. This popular outdoor plant contains cardiac glycosides that harm the heart, decrease body temperature, cause abnormal pulse rate, and can cause death. Beware, even people have died from eating hot dogs roasted on an oleander twig. Wow, that's pretty toxic. Japanese yew, I haven't heard of that, but it's extremely toxic to dogs. This group of ornamental plants can cause seizures or cardiac failure. The plant and red berries are toxic. So this there's a complete list on the Dog Channel website, which is www.dogchannel.com. And there's a complete list of 10 plants that can cause or that can be poisonous to dogs, and a description of why they are poisonous. So check that out. I'll post that on the website too. It's time for another break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. It's talk on cereal box religion.
It's a smile on a dog. I'm not aware. The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Does it break your heart to see your dog limping, not feeling well, anxious, or nervous? You know something is wrong, but you're unable to find any answers. Animal healing expert Vicki Draper combines her intuitive connection, her healing gift of touch, and her extensive training to serve you and your pet. Vicki performs both local and distant sessions, providing you with her services from both near and far. Clients have reported Vicki saving them hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Contact Vicki Draper at www.vimere.com. That's VIMIERE.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk with Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Too many things. I know what I know if you know what I mean. Do you?
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. We're back talking about dog safety, and we're also taking your calls today, so feel free to call in and ask your question about your dog. This could be dog training, dog behavior, food question, or maybe you have a comment about some sort of safety tip that you learned with your own dog. Feel free to call in and share your question or your comment with us, 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527. Or you can call toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Was just talking about some household plants that are toxic, either indoor or outdoor plants that are toxic to dogs. You know, I was surprised that poinsettia wasn't on there. But that's maybe more of a holiday topic. So I have some other things. 4th of July is coming up, which is a big holiday for noise. And that does not mean good things for pets. 4th of July fireworks. Now, I don't even know if they're going to have the fireworks this year or not in Seattle. But please do not take your dog to fireworks. It is not a good idea, especially if it's a new dog, a dog that you don't know, because fireworks can really freak dogs out, and that is a time when they can bolt away from you. It's a very distracting environment, so it's hard for us to be, you know, 100% attentive to our pets, and really important to just be really careful. Don't assume that your dog is contained. Also, you know, especially I think with new dogs, like if you've maybe just adopted a dog and now the 4th of July is coming up, even if you think the dog is contained, you may not know that your dog can clear a 6-foot fence if freaked out enough, which happens every year, or might bust through a screen window if freaked out. So you just can't be too careful, especially with a dog that you don't know really, really well. You know, best thing if you're not sure is to stay home with the dog. And there's also things that you can do to help, you know, herbal things that you can get and give to your dog to help calm them down, or even tranquilizers. We do have a couple callers with questions. We have Ted on line one who has a question in Seattle. Hi, Ted. Hi, Ted.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. What's your question?
I work for a woman, and I do kind of odd jobs around the house, and I'm there on the same day that the housekeeper is there.
Uh-huh.
And she has a dog named Tess that I believe was rescued. And so we don't really know her, you know, beginning history. But whenever she sees either one of us, she just freaks out and starts hyperventilating and shaking. And we're gathering it's from the vacuum cleaner. But she associates me with it now, too, because I'm there on the same day. And the owner says it takes hours after we both leave for the dog to settle down.
Mm.
It's almost getting to the point where she's probably going to not have us come anymore.
Mm.
And we both get down on the ground when we first get there, and we love her and, you know, talk to her and pet her and kiss her and everything like that. But it just doesn't do any help. And I'm just wondering, is there something different that we could be doing? Or the owner gives her Valium, and it doesn't do anything.
What kind of dog is this?
You know, I don't know.
Big dog? Little dog?
She's a bigger dog.
Okay. And how long have they had her?
Several years, probably four or 5 years.
Okay. Well, this one is a bit of a rat's nest, but I will give you a couple just tips kind of right off the top of my head for this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm not sure if the owner of the dog is inclined to work through this at all, but this would be something that I would recommend.
Okay.
Where they call me and we set up an in-home evaluation so that I can come and meet the dog and talk to them about, you know, maybe where this behavior is showing up elsewhere, because it's probably not the only thing where this dog is maybe overly anxious or neurotic.
Right.
So that being said, the first thing that just comes to mind is that if the dog is scared when you come in, trying to comfort the dog isn't going to help the dog. Actually, what it can do is reinforce
it.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, you can actually, it's not that you've caused it at all, but it can actually reinforce the behavior
and then
just make it worse.
I understand that.
Yeah. But I would really recommend that, you know, rather than canceling your services, to maybe look at this, because sometimes things like this can be fairly quickly resolved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all the time, but sometimes it can. So if they're at all inclined to maybe, you know, look into this a little bit more and just, you know, ultimately make the dog more comfortable.
Yeah.
Can have them get in touch with me. And they can always reach me at host@dogtalkshow.com.
Host@dogtalkshow.com.
And they can also look at my website for training and behavior, and that is sensitivedog.com.
Okay, great.
Well, thanks for calling in and caring about someone else's dog like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's upsetting, and I don't like to see him, you know, go through that. So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, and we have Sherry in Gig Harbor. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got two Bichons that are, you know, 7 and probably 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they feed off each other when someone knocks at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
We've we don't have a lot of people come to the front door. Usually people go through the garage. Our family does too.
Mm-hmm.
But get upset. And I don't know if it's because sometimes if we forget to turn off the alarm in the house and you open the front door, it goes off.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it just gets anxious when people come and there just seem to be, you know, calming them, telling them stop, it's okay, everything. Nothing seems to make them stop until they see the people.
Yeah.
Then they're okay.
Yeah, this is really, really, really common for dogs because it is so natural for them to alert bark like that, like, ah, somebody's at the house, you know, and they want to let you know about it. And then once they see who it is and it's okay, then they can calm down. Kind of along the same lines of Ted is you want to make sure that you're not trying to comfort them and tell them it's okay. Or you're okay, or, you know, and try to pat them and calm them down and comfort them because that actually reinforces the behavior.
Okay.
So that's number one. Have you done any sort of formal training with them?
We haven't.
Okay.
They've actually been really smart naturally. They fit. They do everything.
Mm-hmm.
They listen to commands, but the front door, they just the whole.
Yeah. So what you can do.
They open the door.
What you can do is practice having them listen and hold even those basic commands that they know. And you know, first work with them so that they're doing it well with no distractions. And then you can start to work with them and recreate the distraction that causes them to kind of go off. And so it sounds like the trigger, which is the case with most dogs, is either a knock on the door or the doorbell ringing. So what you can do is, like, have the dog sit, something as simple as sitting, and then work with them on holding the sit while you do something like knock at the door. Because a lot of times what's gonna happen is that you ask the dog to sit, they sit, and then as soon as you knock on that door, you know, they start barking and they break and all that. So there's a way that you can – basically what you're trying to do is engage their brain – and get them thinking and on task, and to teach them how to hold that thought in the presence of the distraction that makes them react.
Okay, that's great. So we sometimes, the way I've taught them everything else is sit, stay, and then they get a little piece of carrot. Is that okay to do?
Yeah, you can reward them as they're holding that sit-stay, but if they break the sit, and you want to make sure that you have them on leash for this at first, that you don't end up chasing them around the house once you've knocked on the door.
Okay.
So you have them on leash, and maybe you work with them just one at a time, too, and not both together.
Okay.
And you have them sit, tell them to stay, and then you know, give them a reward. That's fine. And then you tell them, good stay, good stay. And then maybe you just, if they're very sensitive to the sound, maybe you just start with a very, very light, mellow knock. And if that kind of, you know, gets them going, then you have the leash and you just give that leash a little tug and you tell them, no, sit, stay. Good stay, good stay. And then you try that very light knock again and just get them to try to hold that sit stay through the lowest level of intensity version of that distraction, which would be just a very light knock rather than, you know, a big loud knock on the door and then actually having somebody there.
Okay. Oh, that's great. All
so
right,
the key is with that type of behavior is that it's a reaction. So you want to put some structure in place so that they are thinking and you have their brains engaged. And then what you're also doing by giving them a job to do in that context is you're also working on your leadership dynamic with them, letting them know that you are the one in control of the interaction and that you are the one who says who comes in and out of the house. So it can kind of help them to feel more comfortable and calm them down if you teach them how to think in that situation. And it can take some time, so be patient.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Bye. Very good questions. Well, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, I will ask my trivia question, and you can call in for a chance to win, if you answer the question correctly, a full book of Stamps to the Rescue, 44-cent postage stamps that have pictures of rescue dogs and cats on them. They are very cute. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. It's time for Dog Talk Show trivia. We're giving away a book of stamps. Dog and cat stamps. Very exciting. So here's the question. What small fruit has been reported to cause kidney failure in some dogs when ingested in large quantities? Phone number 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington 888-298-5569. What small fruit has been reported to cause kidney failure in dogs? And if you have won something recently, please don't call in and just wait a couple more months before you do. But the lines are lighting up, so I think some people have idea about this. Not a lot of people know about this, so this one's important. You really wouldn't think, you know, it's not like one of those like chocolate. I think everybody knows not to give dogs chocolate and that type of thing. But this one's a little more off the charts, so... We have Diane in Kent on line one. Hi, Diane.
Hi. It would be the grape.
Yes. Well done. Grapes and raisins, in
grapes
fact.
Grapes and raisins. Yeah, I've been listening to your show, and I was thinking when you were talking about the chocolate and the foods, I'm thinking, oh, she needs to mention grapes.
Aha. Well, thanks for having my back on that. But, yeah, I was saving it for trivia.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, I have another quick question or a quick comment.
Yep.
Can you kind of let people know, too, about not leaving their dogs in the hot cars during the summer?
You just did, Diane. Thank you.
Well, it just drives me nuts.
No,
I
know
it. People just have no idea how quick they get hot. And
yep. Even with the windows down.
Oh, exactly.
Yep.
I mean, I'm kind of like a parking lot patrol sometimes.
That makes two of us in Seattle. So.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe even over the summer, if you could just keep reminding people, it would be great.
I will. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much.
So we're going to send you back to Darcy and get your mailing address, okay?
Great.
All right.
Thanks
for listening. A very, very important safety tip, and it is on my list, cars. And regardless of how much people talk about this, there's lots of literature out there, flyers, and media about how dangerous leaving your dog in a car can be. People still do it. And, you know, I see it all the time where, you know, direct sunlight, and it doesn't even have to be that hot out. It doesn't have to be, you know, 95 degrees for this to be dangerous. When it's 70 degrees out, or even in the 60s, if that sun is direct, cars are like ovens for dogs, and dogs can overheat very quickly, and it can cause irreversible damage. So don't take any chances if it's hot out. Just be very careful. The other thing that I've noticed, too, with my pad in the back of my wagon is that it's black and that it can get really hot if it's just kind of, you know, been baking in the car. So if I have to put my dogs in the car, like we're going somewhere and it's really hot out, I'll turn my car on, let the air conditioner run for a while, let it cool down, and then also, you know, put some towels or sheet or something over that black hot rubber that does get very hot, because that can, you know, that can be really uncomfortable or even burn their little pads. So we want to be careful about that. All right, other safety tips. Now, I talked about the 4th of July and fireworks a little bit, but just please be careful with your dogs, especially if it's a new dog. Don't assume that they are just fine around fireworks. It really is, you know, it freaks dogs out. I don't know what they must be thinking about, you know, these super loud noises. And if your dog is scared of thunder, too, and, you know, something in the Northwest that we have is the Blue Angels, that tend to just be a nightmare for both parents of young children and people with pets, because those things are so loud and it can just really freak them out. Make sure that your dogs and cats, too, are properly identified, that they are wearing a collar with a tag on them with up-to-date information about how to contact you if somebody finds your pet. Missing Pet Partnership is also a wonderful organization. We've had Kat Albrecht, the founder of Missing Pet Partnership, on the show a few times. She was just on, I think it was last week as well. So you can always check with them, too, about more information about lost pets. Tennis balls. Good old tennis balls. You wouldn't think that they could be dangerous and even fatal. But I do have a very sad story about a client of mine who took one of my group obedience classes with me within the past several months, I think it was. She had a husky, and he had a dog walker that came and walked him during the day. And when the dog walker would come and take him out, he would throw the tennis ball for him. And the dog was very driven by the ball. And so the dog walker had the idea of, well, your dog loves the tennis ball so much when we're out on walks, I'm going to leave him with the tennis ball in your apartment after I drop him off. Never a good idea to just never assume anything, especially, you know, when you have someone else's dog in your care, especially when it comes to things that they can ingest, because dogs can be, you know, they can eat the darndest things. And what happened with this dog was that he ended up, you know, because he's really intense about the tennis ball, and that really actually should have been a cue for this professional to know not to leave him with it, because he might go nuts with it. But he ended up actually chewing the tennis ball to the point where he swallowed a small piece of it, and it ended up getting lodged in his esophagus. And it was not noticed until sometime later by his owner. And she took him into the vet, you know, once it had gotten to the point where the symptoms were so bad that she knew something was wrong. And this piece of tennis ball had been stuck in the esophagus for quite some time. And he actually didn't make it out of the surgery. And he died as a result of this poor judgment by a dog care professional, which is very disappointing to me, and just extremely sad for my client. And my heart just really goes out to her, because I know how much she must be missing her boy as a result of this completely unnecessary thing. So please be careful. Anybody out there, if you're watching somebody else's dog, your neighbor's dog, your family member's dog, or if you are a professional and you care for other people's dogs, you never, you know, always check with the owners. Is this something that's okay? Is this a good idea? Does your dog have any food allergies? Can I give your dog a treat? I mean, something's as simple as that, because these days, some dogs are so sensitive to things that they can have really bad reactions to some things that other dogs might be okay with. So you just can't be too careful. And, you know, worst case scenarios is that somebody's, you know, dog dies as a result of this, totally unpreventable. So just be super careful about that kind of thing. Another thing about tennis balls for dogs that just sort of squeeze them over and over again in their mouth, which is very fun for dogs because they get to use their jaw muscles and squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it, is that the fibers actually in the tennis balls can wear down the dog's enamel. And there are some alternatives like rubber ones that, again, you know, if your dog chews on things, be careful about leaving this with them unattended. But for the purposes of fetching, there's some great ones. There's, you know, to mention a couple products, the Chuck It balls, the orange ones that come with the Chuck It's, those plastic things that you, that help you to throw balls very far. Planet Dog makes some great ones too that are actually the color of a tennis ball, and they're like a soft rubber, and those are a great alternative. It's not going to wear down the enamel of your dog's teeth. Also, be careful in the warmer months that dogs can overheat themselves, especially dogs with a high drive. I know that my cattle dogs are some dogs that are good examples of that, to where we are the ones who have to say when the fetching is over, because they can't, you know, they can't sometimes stop themselves. It's like, oh man, I'm so tired and I can't catch my breath, but gosh, I'm having so much fun, or I'm so driven to chase this ball. You know, sometimes, oftentimes that drive will override other maybe common sense things that dogs just can't regulate. So especially when it gets hotter, but you know, don't run your dog into the ground, so to speak. I know that for our cattle dogs, as an example, we have to say when the game is over. Otherwise, you know, they'll pass out or get heat stroke.
I was going to ask you that because I mentioned Cookie at the beginning of the yes, the hour. And she lives in Texas. And my dad called me this weekend and said, you won't believe what happened to Cookie. Well, they have rabbits in their backyard, and she loves to chase the rabbits. Yeah. She never catches them. Yeah. Nothing ever happens. But she just chases these rabbits around the yard. Well, and she's always done that, and it's always hot in Texas, of course, sure. And she usually starts panting and she'll come in. Well, apparently last weekend, my dad says she just collapsed,
mm-hmm,
and he had to actually go out there, pick her up, mm-hmm, and he said her little heart was pounding so badly, mm-hmm, and that he had to bring her in and cool her down and get her water.
Yep.
But I've never seen that ever happen before. That makes me nervous, so...
Well, in a Pekingese, which is what Cookie's breed is, mm-hmm, is what they call brachycephalic, where they have that pushed-in nose.
Right.
Like a pug or bulldog or, you mm-hmm know, and they have a really, really hard time breathing. And if you think of, you know, dogs don't sweat to regulate heat.
Mm-hmm.
They pant, and, you know, that's their main way to regulate their body temperatures through panting. And dogs with compromised breathing can overheat really, really fast.
I couldn't believe it.
And especially in Texas, you know.
I couldn't believe it when he told me that.
So just, you know, I'd really watch, you know, don't let him know that she can't be out there unsupervised for very long.
Right.
Yeah. Well, lots of great questions today. I've got plenty more safety tips to go over, which I will in weeks coming. We'll be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m., as always available on iTunes as a free download. You can listen to any of our over 65 shows on iTunes in the podcast section. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show, and thanks, Valerie, for filling in for Eric. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We'll see you next week.
Views expressed on the preceding program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Good afternoon, this is Valerie with a look at your traffic here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. 405 southbound, just south of 112th Avenue. There is a collision blocking the right lane. The current backup is 5 miles. Police are on the scene, and hopefully that will get cleared because it is heavy traffic getting through that area. Also, 405 southbound, at 30th Street exit. It is slow moving through the Renton area around the S-curves. Northbound I-5 is heavy from Alba Place to I-90 interchange, but it is smooth sailing through downtown Seattle and that area. The 520 bridge is not looking good at this hour. Westbound starting at the 405 interchange, and it does not let up until the midspan of the bridge. For more updates on traffic, you can always visit our website at 1150kknw.com or at the top.